Okay, good afternoon, everybody, and we're very sorry for the delays. Welcome to this afternoon's special meeting of the Transit Commission. I'd like to make a couple of remarks, if I could, and then we will get into the format of the meeting and get going. I understand from the clerk's office we've also got quorum now, too, so we're good. Okay, thank you everyone for joining us today for our first of two November transit meetings. We will go through the agenda in a moment, but first I would like to make a few remarks. To our ridership, I want to say how very sorry we all are that your transit experience may have been impacted by disruptions in train travel or from the impacts to your bus travel since we've started the October 6th transition. Mr. Manconi will give us specifics as to what has caused these issues and what we are doing to rectify them later in this meeting, but I think it's important up front and as a first step that I express to you our, as a commission, our most sincere apology. You deserve the best possible transit system, and I want to assure you that is what we are all working hard to do to meet your expectations. To Mr. Manconi, I want to extend my personal sincere appreciation for your efforts to manage the largest transition in OC Transpo's history. I've witnessed firsthand your dedication and passion for this massive task that we as Council and Commission have asked you to lead. And I also know how much the OC Transpo employees appreciate your leadership. So thank you. To our commissioners, I want to say that we've been through a very stressful time, and it's my belief that the measures staff are proposing here in this budget and in the lead up to the budget will improve our transit service. My intentions are the same as yours. We must take this budget today and make it work for our transit users, and this will not be easy. We need the public to have faith that we can make their commute better than it is today. And we need our council to support this spending plan at a time when other priorities are competing for tax dollars. Finally, to our employees, I want to personally thank you for all your efforts during this difficult time on behalf of the commission. We know you also want to deliver the best possible transit service to our transit users, and together I am confident we will get that done. Thank you for your patience, and we'll get the meeting started now. So allow me to outline the format for this meeting first. As you may know, this is a meeting at which the Transit Commission's portion of the budget will be received and tabled and referred for consideration by the Commission at its meeting of Wednesday, November 20th. At that point, too, we'll be taking public delegations on the budget. Today, we will be receiving a high-level overview of the Transit Services budget from the General Manager of Transportation Services Department, Mr. John Manconi. As we are only tabling the budget today, we will not be receiving those public delegations for this item at today's meeting. We will also not be considering any motions on the budget at this meeting. The opportunity for both will be at the meeting of Wednesday, November 20th. And just for clarification for new members of the Commission, that's past practice. Members may also ask questions of staff, but are reminded that they should limit their questions to a high level as opportunities to examine the budget in detail will be provided again on November 20th. For the second agenda item, we will be receiving a presentation and verbal update on the Confederation Line and related matters from Mr. Manconi. After the presentation, we will receive delegations who may wish to speak to this item. All delegations will be accorded the usual 5-minute speaking time. Following any public delegations, members of the Commission and Council will be able to ask questions, but I would remind members that their questions will be limited to 5 minutes, after which they will be put back on the speaker's list. So to start the meeting, are there any declarations of interest by any of the Commission members? No, seeing none. We will now receive a presentation on the 2020 transit budget from Mr. Manconi. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members of Transit Commission and council members in attendance. I'm going to walk you through the budget in a little bit more detail to build upon what the Mayor shared this morning at the council meeting. This budget that's before you represents the first year of a multimodal service system, bus, rail, a very busy system that carries a lot of passengers and has some of the highest usage per capita in North America for comparable size cities. It reflects the investments that the Mayor talked about in adding additional bus service, and those bus service investments will be a build on in terms of consultation with your offices, customer feedback, the data that we retrieve from our system, and also linked in with the launch of Line 1. Also in 2020, we hit another milestone in that we will be back in the business of detours. The Trillium line will be shut down, and we will have the budget that's before you for your consideration includes detour bus costs that get recovered through capital. Some of the key highlights is the $7.5 million investments in bus service with an additional 19 new buses. So when you add the two together, it's 59 additional buses that will be deployed across the city. And I have a list later on in terms of by areas of the city that we're investing. But it is system-wide and specific to routes and areas that we've been hearing from you and from the customers. There's the additional $2 million that provides increased paratranspo service. That, combined with the great work that our team is doing with the online booking, will bring para to a new level in terms of being the service that our customers want and deserve. The fare freeze for Equipass, Community Pass, and Access Pass is included in this proposed budget. And there's the $15 million in capital funding to implement the bus detour. That's extra buses and resources for the closure of the Trillium line, so they pick up those customers. And those are an enhanced detours. The team's done a very good job, and we'll certainly be consulting with the affected councillors and get their input in that, which has already started. Continued capital investments across all aspects of the service. And there is the built-in fare increase of 2.5%, which kicks in on January 1st, 2020. In terms of ridership, we have and continue to see either a slight increase or staying flat in terms of ridership. So we are not decreasing. Mr. Scrimger continues to collect that data. The latest number shows us about 0.6% compared to last year. We are building the budget on a 2.6% increase in ridership, and that's built on the O-Train line opening and bus service expansion, the growth in your various communities, and intensification throughout the city. So that ridership brings in about $203 million, which is built into the base, and that, of course, incorporates a recommended fare increase. In terms of para, we're approaching almost a million customer trips, a very large operation. That's combined with our in-house fleet and the external fleet that we use. The $2 million provides the capacity for 55,000 to 70,000 additional trips, which has always been a challenge for us in terms of our current budget level, in terms of overspending and not being able to accommodate the increasing demand. Fare revenue on para is $2.1 million, and that incorporates the increase. The service expansion, bus investments, it's across the city on various elements, service reliability. That's strategic placement of buses at key locations so we can add in additional trip time on congested areas and so forth. Increased capacity and reduce waiting time, and also provide new and improved connections from new growth areas, add some earlier, later trips, employment locations, and I'm assuming that all resonates with you because I know Mr. Scrimger and his team have spoken to every single councillor and member of the commission. So in terms of those investments, they are across the city. I know there was some confusion in terms of are we investing downtown? Yes, we are. Reliability at capacity is always a challenge in the downtown routes. You may have enough bus frequency, but you need to sustain it. Out in the suburban areas, east, west, south, so it's citywide. We don't have route-specific information right now. What we've done with the 40 routes, 40 buses that we've injected, it is across all of the areas on the major areas that you've identified to date. We will circle back with every single councillor and close the loop based on not only just the 40 buses, but also the 19 new additional. So we come back, we want to play back. Did we hear you correctly? Here's our data from our customers and feedback. So you'll have another round in terms of that consultation process so that everything's locked in for the new year. And a reminder, we adjust 4 times a year, and we always want to consult with you on that. So if you're not hearing enough from us, please ask, and we will make that time available. We know it's important that we get your view. It's your community. You represent those folks out there, and we want to be engaged in those dialogues. So in terms of the roll-up, we had a target of about $23 million. That's how things line up in terms of base adjustments. Maintain, those are your CPI costs and so forth, growth investment, and then revenue increase. In terms of capital highlights, it's a massive program. Lots of projects in there when you get your detailed information. We continue to be proactive in our bus lifecycle program. There's the detours I mentioned earlier on, and then there's also those very important customer-facing elements such as bus stops, shelters, and customer improvements for existing infrastructure. It's not always about the new build. We have to sustain the existing infrastructure. I know some of you have talked to me about painting older stations and so forth, so that's where that gets funded. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That concludes the presentation, and staff are available to take any questions.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Manconi. Are there any questions? Councillor Meehan, go ahead.
I'm not touching. Okay, there. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Mr. Manconi, for that. I just want to understand. So the $3.5 million that the mayor announced to fund the drivers on those 40 buses last week, that's in the 2019. That's not included at all in the 2020, right?
What I'll do, Mr. Chair, if I can't answer the councillor's question, I'm going to get Marion to walk everybody through the numbers because there's been a lot of numbers that have been out there. I just want to make sure that there's a clear understanding of all the pieces.
Okay.
Thank you, John. So the 3.5 that the mayor talked about last week is actually part of your 2020 budget. Yeah. Mr. Manconi started rolling out that service, those additional 40 buses, November, December of this year. He has the existing authority within his existing budget to do that. But to sustain that over a longer period of time, for example, all of 2020, we needed to include that in the budget. So there is an increase of $9.5 million in growth in 2020 in the transit budget. $7.5 million of that is for traditional buses, and $2 million of that is for paratransfo. Now, I noticed Mr. Manconi shows a different number up there. That's only because he's netted off that growth number, the additional revenues that you would receive. So he's got 40 buses that are supplementing existing service, and he has 19 buses that are going to expanded service. That expanded service brings in more revenue. So he's showing a net number in his presentation. But there is a gross increase of $9.5 million, which includes the 40 buses in 2020, plus another 19 expansion buses in 2020.
Is there any elasticity in this in case we have to increase service level again?
Well, I think you have to be careful, right, because there's three ways to fund this. It's fares, taxes, or service, and so those are your three levers. The budget that's before you, I can assure you, Councillor, that we've heard you loud and clear. We're going to get the best out of that money. which is, and I want to thank every council member that I've seen all the notes and the feedback that Pat has collected. The specific issues that you've brought forward is where we're going to come back to you and say, do we have this right? And do the best we can with all of those. The other thing we're going to do is there are fixes that we believe that are more about injecting trips rather than new routes. That's easier to fix than if you had to establish a full route that doesn't exist and so forth. So it's about using that money very wisely and making sure that we have it right. So you have my assurances that we'll do the best we can for the envelope that we have.
Are we reinstating any of the express routes that people have told us that they are desperately missing?
No, express routes are gone. Those got replaced with what's called connections and so forth. And also there was the whole express fare policy that was done way before we launched the rail line. It was previous term of council. What we are doing is we are getting innovative. We're doing some direct routes to park and ride lots. We're doing that in Fallowfield. We're doing that out in Kanata. We are opening up the toolbox to look at those things. So, again, I encourage you to speak to Mr. Scrimger. We're prepared to try different things, but going back to express routes, that model has been unpacked, and putting that back together is very costly, very complex, and you're beyond that point now.
Mr. Manconi, if we hadn't experienced the problems over the last several weeks, were we going to put more money in the budget at all for more buses?
Yes.
How much more?
The 7.5 was what we were working on. The difference there is it was going to be a part year, so we're probably going to try to, we're looking at annualizing it, doing mid-year and so forth. The 40 buses is brand new. That was part of the solutions that we brought forward on that. And so there was expansion money. You've all told me, I know Mr. Kanellakis, that you needed more bus service out in your areas, not just in the growth areas, but also in the downtown areas to sustain the bus service. So there was money in the original draft. The 40 buses is the additional piece that we've put on top of that. And that doesn't go away. That gets built into the base, and we sustain that. We adjust the fleet plan in future years, but you're increasing net 40 buses.
Okay, I guess those are my questions on funding. I'll have further questions, I guess, when we get down to operations, but thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Meehan. Councillor Eglie.
Thank you much, Mr. Chair. If I understood your presentation correctly, you're not going to have details today as to which particular routes have been adjusted or fixed. Is that correct?
No, that's correct. We are plugging the routes right now that you've all given us feedback on with the 40 buses. Pat's going to finalize all that based on how that's working and put it into the January schedule. And before that's finalized, we're checking in with you.
So if we have a gap in our schedule, not that the bus isn't showing up on time, but that there's an actual gap, it's not coming frequently enough, that's not going to be fixed until January?
No, I'm going to get Pat to explain what we're doing right now.
Because just in order to make sure it's working, we have to be able to tell our residents, hey, if you go out at 8:15 now, you can get the whatever bus. If they don't know about it, then they're not going to go out and look for it.
Mr. Chair, yes, there were a certain number of councillors who identified specific gaps in the schedule where the time was longer than it ought to have been based on ridership conditions. We have got that information from all the councillors, including Councillor Eglie, and as we confirm that everything is working properly, we'll be announcing those additional dates or providing information on those additional times to councillors on those, or to customers on those routes.
And do we have a sense of the timing on that? Because my understanding is it's happening now. But if it's happening now and people don't know to go out to the stop, then it's destined for failure.
Mr. Chair, I think we'll be doing that either later this week or very early next week.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Brockington next, and followed by Councillor Sutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to start off with a question, piggybacking on Councillor Meehan, A year ago, what would, you know, before the LRT opened, before we saw the challenges that we're seeing the past few months now, what would have been a regular investment on new buses? I assume it wasn't 59. I'm trying to understand what would have been a normal increase for 2020 versus what is the additional you're adding to try and address some of the issues that we're seeing now?
We're adding the 40, which would have been dropped off the base. So we're up 40 buses is okay. What you're getting with this budget.
And you're coming with
The 19 is for your growth.
Okay. So 59 is a very specific number. You've obviously come up with that number somehow. And I guess you need to improve the routes. I just want to make sure that number, Mr. Chair, is the right number.
I have no problem admitting that it's not a perfect science to what you're seeing here today. There's the affordability lens that we applied. So we heard you loud and clear pre-launch that you wanted investments on bus reliability across the city. So we put forward a budget ask to the treasurer and to the city manager, which is that $7.5 million. The question was, could we annualize it, do half a year, full year? So it went through those motions. The 40 was me working with this great management team saying, what can we do to address the problems that you're all hearing? And there was 40 buses that still were active that didn't have the MTO licenses pulled. So thanks to Mr. Greer and his great work, we pulled those out, put that forward. We had the list that was already started because we were consulting you, and then so we plugged that in there.
So just to clarify, I don't know if I heard an answer to Councillor Eglise's question, but when the exact routes are known, when will that be publicly released?
So, Mr. Chair, there's two, possibly three categories there. One is that there are a small number of routes where there were defined gaps where we needed to run an additional trip. And when we confirm that those trips are operating properly and that they're meeting the expectations, the councillors will be publicizing those to customers on those routes, and we'll do that in the next few days. Second, we have been running buses supporting a large number of routes in all parts of the city this week. When we get some confirmation back, as we get confirmation back this week, today's only the third day that they've been running, that they are doing the job, I'll be communicating back to each of the councillors saying, thank you for the discussion. Here's a route in your ward that we are supporting in this way, and I'll get that back to you probably within the next week and a half.
So I have six problematic routes in my ward, and I'm assuming that there are other wards that have perhaps the same number of challenges as far as bus routes. Adding buses is not the only solution to this problem. When will we understand if you're going to be looking at scheduling and any other variable or factor other than buses? There's got to be other ways to solve some of the issues. So how will that information trickle down to the commission?
We will get that information back directly to each councillor. You're right that adding a bus is a way to, in some cases, to plug a gap temporarily as a Band-Aid. A more thorough solution to it is to rewrite the schedule for that route, and that's what we'll be doing over the next 2 months to put in place the 1st of January. And we will be getting that information back to each councillor individually.
My challenge, Mr. Chair, is that my residents are very keen to see which specific routes in our ward will be potentially receiving enhanced service. And I certainly can't approve any budget a month from now that doesn't have the specifics about where this investment is going to be spread across the city. So as much information needs to be shared as possible. My last question just on this issue is, Mr. Manconi stated an estimate ridership increase next year of 2.6%, which I think is quite ambitious. What percentage of that is driven by bus ridership, and what percentage of that is driven by LRT ridership?
Mr. Chair, I'd suggest that there is not a distinction between the two. It's system ridership, and those new customers to the system are being attracted by the improved capacity of the light rail line, the improved reliability that will be coming on the bus routes, the improved capacity of the bus routes, the general growth of the city. In addition, the removal of the brakes on growth that were there during the detour years. We don't consider, when we're reporting on system ridership, we don't count train riders separately from bus riders, because almost every, well, not, the great majority of customers in our system ride both train and bus.
Excellent. I only ask because the system as is, with its challenges that we'll get into the next presentation, is not proven to me a good recruiter for adding ridership, that unless we have a succinct plan to deal with some of the challenge that we're faced now, a 2% increase to me is unlikely. And that's why I want realistic numbers with a realistic plan, and that's why I raise that. But I'll follow up with additional questions later, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, if I could just clarify on the first part of the question, I just want to make sure we are committing to doing a two-step report back to you. You need that information on the now routes, the 40 that we're plugging right now, so we'll get that to you in the next couple of days, and then we'll also get back to you on the January 1st schedule. So we'll give you that information as quickly as we can in both those circumstances.
Thank you, Mr. Manconi, and thank you, Councillor. The next one, and I apologize, I had said Councillor Suds was next. Somehow on my screen it's now Councillor Menard. I just like to, but then you follow Councillor Menard, okay? And I'd just like to remind everybody, if I could, to try and keep your questions on to the budget right now, and then we will get into the presentation that I promise you has a lot of slides to it and a lot of information on the system itself and the steps staff are either taking or recommending. So go ahead, Councillor Menard.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Chair. I only have two questions. The first is around the arithmetic of the additional buses coming in the budget. So my understanding is we had about 1,000 buses in service prior to system changeover and LRT launch. And then we went down to about 850 or so, 860, 850. And now we're adding back about 59. So is my arithmetic relatively correct? Like, what is our total number of buses that will be at in service after the 59 are added?
It's roughly right what you're saying. We dropped the 180, and then we're adding the 40.
Okay. Okay. So we'd be at about 890 or so, around that number in service after the 59 are added.
Approximately, yes.
Okay. Okay. And my next question is around fares. So given the service levels that we've experienced and the high demand that we've got out there to freeze transit fares to ameliorate some of the experience folks are having, if we were to freeze fares, Mr. Manconi, across the board, and I recognize the Equipass, Community Pass, Access Pass are already in the budget, what is OC Transpo's best recommendation in terms of where this would come from? If there's a motion to be brought around reserves, or what other method would you see if that was going to be brought by Council to freeze fares this budget?
Mr. Chair, if you decide to change the budget and reduce or delay the fare increase, we would have to look at the transit operating reserve as the source for that. There's not really all that much in there right now, so you probably end up having to go to capital to use as a source.
Okay, I'll be working with your offices and other councillors on a motion of that sort, but appreciate the answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. You're done. Councillor Sutz.
Thank you. Just a few questions with respect to budget for now. One with respect to what is in the budget or what can we expect next year around enhancing communication efforts with riders. I think that's been an area of discussion over the last little while, and curious what's reflected here to enhance that.
The budget that's in front of you includes what I'm going to present at the next update, next item, and it is a very significant investment of an additional 15 FTEs in the communications area at stations, also some people on handling the customer messaging, and you'll see the highlights of the review that we had by our peers out of Toronto, and we're also bringing in some other agencies to give us some feedback. So there's an investment in there. It's significant.
Fantastic. And on the paratranspo side, I see the $2 million, I think it was, around service enhancements. What is the status of online booking, and where is that reflected in the budget?
Mr. Chair, the online booking, we've taken direction from Council to introduce that. We're providing an update at the next Commission meeting on where that stands right now. The Chair and the Vice Chair had already provided some information that we would be doing that in two steps. First, with a web form to allow people to put their requests in and get responses by email. That'll be available beginning at before the end of this year. And then during next year, to build a complete access online to the entire suite of account management, booking, cancellation, trip arrivals. That is all fully funded already from approved capital resources.
Okay, terrific. GPS update. This has been a point of discussion and consternation, I'd suggest, from riders. Is an upgrade reflected in next year's budget, and what can we expect there?
I'm going to sound like a broken record. It's coming up on the next presentation.
Great.
We have some information
on
that.
Okay, very good. Modifications for Tani's pasture. Is there anything in the budget with respect to any modifications to address capacity, weather, accessibility concerns that have been raised?
Yes. Next presentation, Scott.
Next
they're actually starting some of the work today.
Very good. Okay, one last question. When we're talking about this $7.5 million additional investment in buses, is any of this being recouped through RTG?
You're going to hear in my next presentation, we're hitting RTG really hard on their monthly payments. They're going to be funding some of the enhancements, such as those resources at the stations, because I wanted to do it right away rather than wait. They're going to fund the non-payments. I'm going to use that for one-time capital, get those positions established and so forth. And it's also going to balance anything if we're short on those things, because it's you're going to hear their payments. Monthly payments are significant, and they've not received a dime on their operations.
Okay. Very good. I look forward to the next presentation.
I warned you. Next up, Commissioner Wright-Gilbert, please, and then followed by Councillor Leeper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the presentation, it was quoted that there were 99.4 million customer trips. Given that it's my understanding that only 20% of the buses actually have customer counters, and now that we have fare paid zones where people are not required to tap their Presto card, can you give me a little bit more information about how this number is calculated?
Certainly. I'm going to ask Pat to give you an answer, and then if you would like a follow-up, because there's a real detailed process as how we do the number counting and so forth. But happy to provide that.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, the largest, when we report system-wide ridership, that is, for the most part, calculated from the amount of fare revenue that we have received, whether we receive money from customers who are buying monthly passes, who are paying for single fare rides. And that money is real, and we know how much money we have. And we apply factors that are developed with experience over the years and with comparison to many other transit systems and from tracking what people do with their Presto cards and all sorts of things to turn that amount of money or the amount of different taps that individual customers make into the annual ridership number that we report to the Commission and to Council.
Thank you. I look forward to getting a bit more detailed information on how the numbers are, but that's actually going to be an inquiry later, so that's fine. So with the increase in buses and drivers, is this going to help to alleviate the three-minute turnaround issue, i.e. the 3 minutes for drivers to unload the bus and then get to the start of their next route that has actually been an issue that's been raised by drivers?
Again, yes, at the next presentation, Commissioner, you're going to hear. We've consulted with the union leaders who are behind me. I believe they're still there. They've brought up a bunch of suggestions and so forth, and you're going to hear that the investments that you're putting forward, we will be putting additional running time into their operations. And there's actually a working group that's looking at all that. And I want to thank Clint and his team and the other union leaders because they've been very good to work with in this massive change with us.
I'm very glad to hear that. The 40 buses that have been added that were announced last week, are these being staffed using overtime?
We are throwing everything we have at this issue to take care of our customers. We have a mix of overtime. We have drivers giving up weekends. We have people, the spare board. We use the spare board. It's a wide range of tactics.
Okay. So the overtime itself obviously costs a lot more money than a regular hourly wage, which I assume drivers are paid, correct?
Overtime can be cheaper. It depends. It's a very complicated process because you have to look at the whole piece. I can get Mr. Charter, who was involved in many studies associated with this, to explain that. There's a very complex booking process that we utilize. And again, the operators have been doing a wide range of things, including giving up stats and so forth. And prior to all this, they were doing all sorts of initiatives with us on those premiums that we've talked about at previous commissions meetings.
And the 19 buses that we're procuring under the new budget, what kind of buses are they? Are they double-deckers?
There's, Mr. Chair, there's two kinds of buses being added to the fleet this year. There's the 19 buses for growth are 40-foot buses. We're continuing to buy Nova LFS buses, like the 80 that we've seen first. There's another, I believe it's 19 double-decker buses that are coming to give the capacity in the fleet to be able to provide the parallel, the replacement service by bus for O-Train Line 2 when it shuts down for Stage 2 construction.
So, just so I understand you correctly, I don't want to misunderstand you. Some of the buses being procured are 40-foot buses, what we riders call the shorter buses, correct? Not the articulated buses that can hold approximately 80 to 90 people?
So, we have a fleet that's made up of three types of buses, and this year we are increasing the number of double-decker buses and the number of 40-foot buses. The number of articulated buses is remaining the same.
And I've heard, and I want to make sure that this is correct, that the double-decker buses are considered to be the most unreliable in the fleet. Is that the case?
So the
sorry, Mr. Mancone, can we please try to focus on the budget piece here? And the quality of the buses or whatever will be dealt with later. The if I could just remind the others, sorry, Commissioner, if I interrupt you for a sec, where the Vice Chair and I are talking, because there seems to be quite a bit of crossover between what a lot of our audience is here to hear about is the next presentation. I'm going to make a commitment to you up front that if your questions, if you're not sure if your question is budget related or transit presentation related, I won't rule you out of order after the next presentation if your question some interpret as a budget question. I hope that helps you make the decision so we can get to the presentation. Thank you, Commissioner. So if it's okay with you, the reliability of the buses, if we can park that as in, if I can use that term,
well,
and stick to the budget.
With all due respect, Mr. Chair, this is a budget issue, and the fact that we are being asked in this budget to approve the purchase of these new buses, and the reliability of these buses is an issue when it comes to money being spent.
Yeah, that'll be the November 20th meeting, Commissioner, where you'll be asked whether you're going to approve it or not. What today is simply the tabling of the budget.
I understand.
Any questions about, you know, what you're being asked to approve, or if you want to change the number of buses or anything like that, will all get dealt with on the 20th, and you're able to talk to staff between now and the 20th as much as anybody wants to about those kinds of questions, okay? But today is really just a high-level budget tabling, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do understand the difference between tabling and a discussion, but thank you. I will hold my question until the next presentation. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Leeper?
Thanks, Chair. As quickly as I can, because it is just the tabling. In your presentation, you spoke to ridership that is slightly up, flat to slightly up. Are those year-to-date September numbers, or are those year-to-date October numbers? What's the most recent data you have?
The most recent data we have compiled is up till the end of September.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Leeper. Councillor Kavanaugh, followed by Councillor Dudas.
Oh, am I on? Okay. Sorry. I wanted to give a thank you on the fare freeze for the low-income passes. I think that's really important, and I'm happy that it's part of the key highlights and that you recognize that that's important. These are people who depend on transit. They can't just go stomping off and buy a car. They depend on it, and we're recognizing that this is an affordability issue, and we're helping them, especially due to the crunch that these people are facing in terms of affordable housing and other issues. So thank you. I'm just going to ask, is there any expectation that there'll be a higher uptake on these passes? For example, the ECA pass, is there any expectation? Are we reaching out to people to help them apply?
Mr. Chair, use of the discounted targeted passes continues to increase, and we continue to provide information to individuals, to community support groups, to everyone, and to help anyone who thinks they might be in that category to learn how they should apply. And so we continue to expect growth in all of those categories.
Okay. I'm hoping that we'll have some way of encouraging people, because I still hear from communities that a lot of people don't know about it and don't know how to apply. So, and I see that as a strategy for income that will help us in terms of more ridership. Can I get a nod if you're going to look into that to help streamline that?
We continue to. We're engaged with dozens, perhaps over 100 different community groups. I don't remember the exact number, and we continue to feed them information and they to the people they represent. We've got information available through many city offices and also on the webpage, and we continue to push this out. Sometimes there's new categories of people who find themselves in this category, and we help them to understand what their options are.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Dudas? And that'll be followed by Councillor Meehan.
So a point of clarification, you're currently budgeting based on a 2.6% ridership increase. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But in the last 2 months, the comparison, the increase was 0.6. Is that correct?
Let's get Pat to explain that.
Mr. Chair, that 0.6 ridership is the January to September ridership this year compared to the January to September ridership last year. So year on year, we had a 0.6% increase before the detours were removed, before the service enhancements, and before the
training. Sorry, apologize, Pat, I can't hear you.
Sorry, I'll get closer to the mic. The comparisons were between January to September numbers from 2018 to January to September numbers for 2019. This year's ridership in the first two-thirds of the year are 0.6% higher than they were last year.
They're higher, okay. Okay, and then I had a question about the fare increase. The fare increase that you're incorporating into this budget, how much money will that generate? I don't have it in front of me, but...
Sorry, Councillor, I'm just looking. I thought I had it, but I'm asking the Treasurer if she's got it off the top.
The number I have is that it's $4.9 million.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Meehan, followed by Councillor McKenney.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I have to go back to my original question, because the more I thought about it, the more it didn't make sense. Ms. Similek, so the 3.5 the mayor announced last week, did it come, though, from a 2019 reserve fund?
We are taking a transfer from the reserve fund in 2020. So you have a transit has a capital reserve fund, and we've shown if
In the continuities, you'll see that there's a transfer of $3.5 million from that reserve fund to operations proposed for 2020.
That's the transit capital reserve.
That's correct.
Not the operating reserve. There's only $1.5
That's
million
right. There's
the
not enough there to do it, so we took it from capital, and we'll address that problem in 2021.
Okay. So, and then we're adding another 3.5 in 2020.
No, that 3.5 that he referenced was actually the 2020 number. What it's costing in 2019 is less than $1 million because it's 40 buses for 2 months. So Mr. Manconi has, mm-hmm. with the fact that he's deducting from RTM their payments for maintenance of the system, he has that built into his budget, and he's not spending it on that. He's spending it on running those 40 buses in 2019, plus a number of other things which he'll disclose to you in the next presentation. So going into 2020, to keep those 40 buses running, we've increased the budget overall for bus service to $7.5 million. $3.5 of it is coming from the transit reserve.
Okay. So there is a cost to keeping those buses on the road now. We're going to... How much is that?
There is a cost, and it's built. It's part of the $7.5 million. So those 59 buses will be funded in total, the 40 and the 19, from that $7.5 million.
Okay. In terms of paying our staff, what staffing complement has been worked into this budget for next year? Because I know that we need to hire drivers. So, like, how many drivers are we going to hire? What's the surplus number that we're going to be looking at in order to cover routes?
So, in terms of FTEs, for the whole transit operating budget, you're going to hear about 15 in customer service. There's 88 that we're investing in for the bus service, maintaining reliability, work rest rules, all those things, ministry rules and so forth. So that's 103. And then under growth, there's another 58 for service expansion.
So how many are drivers?
I know that certainly 58 for the growth are all drivers. And of the 88, that's all of them, a good chunk of those are drivers. And there's some mechanics mixed in with that. So it's a lot.
Is it going to be enough?
We've sized it to get those 59 buses out there to fill those gaps that you've identified. That's the mission we're on.
But some of the routes, we didn't have the staff, and that's why some of the routes where buses were missing. And
that's a great question. No, Councillor, that's a gap. No, that's a very, very important point. So what's happened is, you recall, we did not lay off operators when we turned the old system off. That's because we kept vacancies. What we're doing right now, it's probably already posted. You're going to see posting for new operators coming in. And so we're staffing up. And we need those operators for this expanded service. We need those also for the detours. We also have held off on some staff transfers internally. That's the work we've done with the union. That's what's got the 40 buses going on. Also with the overtime question that was asked earlier on. So the 40, we're sustaining that right now. We've got every bus available out there right now. And we're starting the recruitment so that in January we're staffed up to fill these FTEs.
Okay.
But that's a very good question because we had vacancies. That was part of the challenge. So now we're back into recruitment. And those, we think we'll have an uptake on those positions because the previous ones were having trouble recruiting because they knew they were going to be laid off. In this case, it's full-time employment.
Okay. Just one last question. You mentioned, this had to do with Councillor Menard's question, that the total number of buses on the road, currently, how many have we got on the road? Because my numbers say we have not even 700.
We have about 1,000 buses in our fleet. Councillor Menard was correct in his number.
They're in the fleet and on the road, or can be two different things, so, Mr. Charter.
What drives that number is you have mandatory inspections that need to be done. So there's buses that are on hoist, so you don't put those out in service. Hence he was talking about the 890 number and so forth. That's the number that were there. You deduct the ones that are off on inspection, preventative maintenance, and so forth. So in any given day, you're just, I think our counts, where's Jim Greer? 880 is the number.
880. Okay. So that's, all the routes are covered then, right? You've got enough elasticity in there to cover the routes and have buses on hoists and buses that are being maintained.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Meehan. Councillor McKinney, please, followed by Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, Chair. And I will attempt to stay very high level. Well, not very, but kind of high level, but short. I just want to just understand, because the mayor mentioned it at the budget, the city budget in his speech, and he mentioned the service to Good Companions, but what I'm hearing today is that we will probably hear about new routes and reliability in a few days. Is that what, like, when can we expect to know what exactly is going to change in terms of the routes? And I'm obviously thinking in this case about any route. It's a 16 right now that serves Good Companions.
So it's that two-step process. There's the, what are the routes that we're plugging in right now to fill the gaps and make things more reliable and address some of the overloads and so forth. And then there's the January 1 rollout with when all this budget takes into effect with the $7.5 million. Pat's going to come and talk to you, but let's put it out there, the Good Companions thing. We know there's an issue there. There's a challenge, and you're going to have to make some choices. He'll give you the choices that you can make within that. It's not a bottomless pit. We've got the pool of money that we can look at. And I always know that when Pat and his team work with you folks on the choices in your communities, we can come up with some innovative solutions. I understand the challenge of the Good Companion Center. We've done a lot of great things with them, and Pat's got a mission. Fix it, is what I told him.
So do when I leave here today, will I know if that's coming in phase one or phase two?
Wait for Pat to call you. I don't know unless Pat's prepared to comment now. I don't think he's got the details right now. It's on the list. That I know.
Okay. And can I just, you know, that I'll leave it at that. I have another question, but I think it is more suited to the second presentation. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McKinney. I appreciate it. Commissioner Olson, followed finally by Councillor King.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Manconi, just two questions. Does the budget contain enough to offset what are known as black swan events, things that are unforeseen but could be high impact if they occur, such as a spike in the price of diesel, for example?
So with diesel, you're more or less set because we hedge that. So you don't have, we're not taking any risk there. Well, 80% of it is hedged. You're taking a risk on 20%. We always have what you refer to as black swan events happen during the year. Things change, and it's all dealt with as part of his budget. If, in fact, he needs additional authority, he can come to this, to the commission, and he can request it, and we would do a transfer from either the capital or the operating reserves that we've set aside for transit, and then we would deal with it in the subsequent budget year.
Okay, thank you. And one last question, Mr. Manconi. Just with respect to the overall budget and the efficiency of operations, certainly being able to sustain operations means you have to be efficient. Just curious, that is, you know, cost per passenger kilometer or however it's measured by transit companies. Just curious how OC Transpo's operations stack up against similar transit companies. Are you more efficient, less efficient, or right in the ballpark?
I'm going to be careful here because I think, you know, with what our customers have been going through right now, some of it, it's not helpful to the cause. The massive change, the largest change in the history of this organization, OC Transpo, with, you know, something that's never been done anywhere around the world, converting a bus rapid transit to light rail transit on the fly. I can tell you that this team, the previous teams, and the previous initiatives that OC Transpo did were and continue to be some of the best of the best. You know, we talked about bus efficiencies that the commissioner raised earlier on. Double-decker buses, which now everybody's moving to, is the lowest cost per passenger per kilometer in the industry. Articulated buses, some of the first articulated buses were used in OC Transpo in the early 80s. Rear door boarding, those things. Very, very efficient. Right now, the budget that's before you, I have no problem telling you that it is a massive transition year. And do we have it perfect? No, we don't. It's the best pieces of the puzzle that we can put together, given the scope and the scale of the changes that we've undergone and the challenges that I'm going to be talking about in the next presentation. Our goal, the goal of this management team, is to always be as efficient as possible and wrapping those efficiencies around the customer so they we drive down costs, we give them good, reliable service, and so forth. And that's why we take what's occurred lately very, very seriously.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Olson. I think if everybody's in agreement here, we're just going to take a quick 10-minute break. We will start the presentation, and Councillor King will be first on the list for questions after the presentation, and Commissioner, you'll be after Councillor King. Is that okay with everybody in the room? Okay, thank you very much, folks. So we'll take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back.